the 7th of July, just a few days ago, hundreds of people boarded a train in Luton in England and travelled to London, where they dispersed variously on other forms of transport to their daily employment, just as they had done for days and weeks and months before. But a few moments later, more than 50 of those people were dead, and more than 700 were injured. Among that crowd of hundreds of people who boarded that train in Luton were four men who looked very much like any other of the passengers. And video footage shows them talking, laughing together as they make their journey into London. But those four men, in the backpacks that they carried, had bombs, which they detonated, killing themselves and many others. In a moment, they brought destruction and death. But who would have known? Who could tell? Who could see the difference? A few days later, a similar thing happened. This time, no one was killed. Only one person was injured. But just days after that first incident, four men got onto trains and a bus and tried to do exactly the same thing, blow themselves up along with innocent fellow passengers. Despite the fact that it had happened once, despite the fact people knew of the danger, these four men just looked like any other passengers. They didn't wear a badge emblazoned on them saying, "I'm a suicide bomber," so that people could avoid them. There was no warning, and by the mercy of God alone, people were spared the fate of those who had died a few days earlier. This highlights a point that Peter makes in his second letter in chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, where we read, "There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." There will be false teachers, the Apostle Peter says, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. False teachers exist in the Church of Jesus Christ. The problem is, they look like you and me. They're not that different from the rest of us. They don't wear a name tag, "Joe Bloggs, false teacher." They come proclaiming what they say is the truth, but they teach a lie, and they bring with them death and destruction, just as those bombers in London a few days ago. Oh, there may not be a loud bang and a flash and lots of smoke, and screaming. But their destruction is even more enduring than what happened on the streets and subways of London. We're told that these false teachers who exist bring a false teaching that has a destructive effect. There will be false teachers, says, among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Now, we've grown to think of this term heresy as something that is way out, something that for us we would see a mile off, the teachings of people like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, which is so obviously not in line with the scriptures. It doesn't take a great deal of effort to work that one out. And we have many people sounding the alarm about such things. But the phrase as it's used here isn't talking about something like that. These are teachings that on the surface may seem plausible. They're brought in secretly. They're not obvious. They don't stand out. But they are destructive. They come undercover, in civilian clothes, as it were. But they're explosive. And those who bring these teachings, either knowingly or possibly unknowingly deceived by Satan and false teachers who have gone before them, bring in these teachings into the church, seeking to waylay those who would be followers of Jesus Christ. They spread lies rather than the truth. And they bring on themselves, Peter says, swift destruction. But the teaching itself will destroy those who hear it and subscribe to it. Peter tells us that they deny the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Now, when it says that they deny the Lord who bought them, he's not saying that these are people who have been purchased by Christ, whose sacrifice on the cross has been effective for them, and somehow they lose their salvation. No, simply that these are people who come professing to be believers. They come professing to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They come as people who profess to have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, whose lives have been redeemed by the sacrifice of Christ. They profess all of that, and yet, in essence, they deny this Lord whom they profess to follow. Now, their denial may be of some of the key doctrines of Scripture. Over the past century and a half, there have been increasing numbers of people who profess to be Christians but deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They profess to be Christians, but they deny that Jesus was born of a virgin, according to the prophets of the Old Testament. They profess to be Christians, but they deny that Christ rose from the dead on the third day. They profess to be Christians, but they deny these key doctrines concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Peter uses this phrase here, it's not simply limited to those who deny the divinity of Christ, or who deny the humanity of Christ, or deny that these great events took place in Christ's life according to the New Testament scriptures. It could simply mean that these are people who are not submissive to Christ, who will not acknowledge him as their Lord, who do things their own way according to their own whims and fancies, rather than limiting themselves and their ministry according to the revealed will of their professed God. Oh, they deny the Lord, though they profess to be his follower. These are the enemies of the church that Peter wants to warn his readers about. Oh, these people, they know all about enemies outside the church. They have already faced fierce opposition. Peter has already written to them and warned them about persecutions that they would face. They know who their enemies are outside the church. Well, they don't come as wolves in sheep's clothing into the midst of the flock. They are quite open and hostile to the Lord Jesus Christ and those who would follow him. But the enemies that Peter warns his readers about in this letter are those who come within the church. He has spoken to them about the prophets who conveyed the word of God, the word on which we are to build our lives as a foundation for all that we do. But he says, there were also false prophets among them. And wherever there is a genuine thing of any significant value, there will always be counterfeits. You always find those who, when a particular currency in the world is valuable, will seek to counterfeit it. I worked in London for a Christian organisation that sent Bibles all over the world. And one of the places we sent many free Bibles was Nigeria. Well, Nigeria doesn't have a particularly good name for avoiding all kinds of blackmail and deceit. And one of the things we found that was very common was to receive as a donation a $20 or a $50 or a $100 US banknote. But they weren't real. They never were real. Those pieces of paper represented a huge amount to the average Nigerian who could ill afford to spare them. And as soon as you picked them up, if you were used to handling money, as soon as you picked them up, you knew from the feel of it, even though it may look like the American greenback, it didn't feel at all right. And the genuine is misrepresented with a counterfeit. And so it is with the Christian faith. People realize that the Christian faith has some value to it. They may see it as being valuable because it has a following, and they want to tap into that following. And indeed, we see that that is true in the case of these false teachers. In verse 3, Peter says, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. You see, they recognize that there is a genuine faith, a genuine teaching that people want to follow. And they substitute it with a counterfeit teaching by which they will exalt their own names and deceive those who seek the truth. See the effect of these enemies of the church upon the church. Verse 2 tells us that many will follow their destructive ways. See, as I said earlier, they don't come labelled false teacher. They don't come acknowledging that what they say may not be entirely along orthodox Christian lines. They try to present themselves as teaching the historic Christian faith. They may say, well, it's got a bit twisted along the way, but we're bringing you back to the teaching of the apostles and of the prophets and of Jesus Christ himself, they will say. and many will listen to them. Partly, people will listen to them because they do not perceive the error in their teaching. Being poorly taught themselves, perhaps, these teachers present what seem to be plausible arguments for the things that they say. They seem to be able to back up what they're teaching with evidence that would seem to support their claims. And many people are deluded and deceived into becoming their followers. And partly these people will have many followers because people are attracted to teachings that make them feel good. The Apostle Paul says a similar thing in 2 Timothy chapter 4. There, in warning his young charge Timothy to preach the word faithfully, he says, there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, to stories. Peter says, we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, he says, there will be false teachers among you. There will be those who will present as truth cunningly devised fables. And people will follow them because the fables are more palatable than the truth. The fables hold out more desirable promises than the truth. The fables require less, demand less in terms of self-sacrifice and obedience than the truth does. And for many and various reasons, these false teachers will enlarge their following, and many will join them in their swift destruction. They caused the true gospel to be blasphemed, Peter says. The gospel that has been taught by the apostles, that is evident in the scriptures, is maligned. Oh, that isn't really what it means. Those are to be culturally interpreted. We must recognize that when Paul wrote, he wrote in a certain culture. When Peter and John wrote, they wrote according to certain norms that existed at the time. And we need to understand what those are, and we need to reinterpret the Bible according to our present culture and our present society. And they completely fail to acknowledge that the scriptures are not the word of men, but are the word of God. And they have been preserved for us to teach us God's will, not what men thought was truth according to their own cultures and times. And so we find that so much of the Bible is questioned today. And the gospel, the true gospel, when it is preached faithfully, is ridiculed and belittled. They flatter their hearers, deceive them, and all for their own ends. They want to be popular, they want to gather a crowd around them, motivated more often than not than by their own personal glory, than the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sad to say, Christianity as it is labelled today, is full of such false teachers. And we need to be aware of this. We need to be watchful. We need to be prepared. We need to always be on our guard. Because they're not obvious. They come in secretly. And so, as Jesus told his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, watch and pray, so that instruction ought to be near and dear to our hearts and ought to be constantly before us as something that we need to obey. To be watchful, to be prayerful. We need to recognize and understand that Peter and Paul and the other apostles were speaking the truth when they warned about false teachers. And it's not just a little thing that's happening in a few small corners of the world. But this problem is extensive and present throughout the Christian church. And we need to constantly come back to the scriptures. And we need to study the word. And we need to gain an understanding of the word, helped by the Holy Spirit, so that we can discern between truth and error. It is the Spirit of God alone who can help us in this. So while we are to watch, while there is a responsibility placed upon us to be watchful, to look out and be aware of the danger and look for signs of its possible presence, we also need to be completely dependent upon the Spirit of Christ. We need to pray. We need to ask for God's protection. We need to ask for his help in discerning truth from error, in being able to distinguish the true teacher from the false teacher. Because so often, they look so alike, and they sound so alike. But the teaching of one leads to life and safety, and the teaching of the other to death and destruction. There will be false teachers among you. Do we know that? Do we believe that? Then we need to watch. We need to pray. But let me close by simply stating this. Just as I've said, that wherever there is anything genuine of value, there will be a counterfeit. Wherever there is a counterfeit, there is something genuine and of value. People don't counterfeit worthless things. And you may be here this morning and you may be wondering, well, I'm not a Christian, and from all that I've heard this morning, it sounds like Christianity is a very confusing religion. And I'm not sure whether I really want to be bothered with it at all. Well, let me encourage you to look into it further. Because where there is a counterfeit, there is something genuine, something worthwhile. Yes, there are false teachers who secretly bring in destructive heresies by which they themselves will be destroyed and those who follow them will be destroyed. But at the same time, there is a truth to be sought, a truth to be believed, a truth that brings not destruction, but life. And that truth is found in the Bible. That truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ, in his perfect life, in his sacrificial death, in his resurrection from the dead and acceptance by God, at whose right hand he now sits and intercedes for his people. You see, there is a truth that is worth sacrificing your whole life to follow and obtain. It may not be a comfortable thing to hold to. It may not be always an easy thing to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. His demands upon us may at times cause us great frustration, even heartache, as we battle with our sinful desires for comfort and peace in an ungodly world. But it is worth it. It is the only way to peace with God. And Jesus Christ himself warns us not to fear those around us who may be able to ridicule us, and may even go so far as to hurt our bodies. Jesus warned us to fear God, who is able to cast both body and soul into hell forever. These are truths that we need to believe and act upon. Yes, there is much error to be avoided, but there is, on the positive side, a truth to be believed and to be lived by. I encourage you this morning to search for the truth in the Bible, the Word of God, and to give your lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, to obedience to him, and to those who teach his ways.